If I got my microphone on, thank you. You can be seated. Forgive me for being a little more casual than normal. But as soon as I get through preaching, I'm getting on my Harley and riding to Colorado. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I'm so blessed. Praise God. Are you ready? Let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. We've been talking about in the day services and the sessions I've been allowed to share with you on breaking through the impossible. And I don't want to go over all the material we've already covered, but we are talking about in this session today petitioning God for finances. Let me make sure I'm speaking to the right crowds. Anybody in here? Anybody in here need a financial breakthrough? Amen. Well, then I want you to listen very closely, and if possible, take notes. Prayerfully consider investing in the message afterwards so you can hear it over and over again. That's how I got it down on the inside of me. The things I'm preaching to you this week are the things that I learned from Kenneth Copeland in 1969. And thank God they're still working today. Isn't that awesome? Still working today. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. Underline the word petitions. We know we have the petitions that we have desired of Him. So today we're going to learn how to petition God for finances. Let's remember that we defined a petition as a formal written request presented to God based upon what He has declared in His Word. And notice that it says that if you pray this petition according to His will. So that tells me that the prayer of petition can actually only be prayed once the will of God is known. This is not something you're praying trying to find out the will of God. It is a prayer that is prayed based upon what you have discovered in His Word as His will for your life. And settle this fact that His Word is His will. God will never say anything in His Word and then will the opposite. If His Word says, by His stripes ye were healed, then how could it possibly be His will that you be sick? Amen? Amen. If His Word says that I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, then how could it possibly be His will that you be sick or broke? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, makes sense to me. But you'd be surprised at the number of Christians who don't think that way. I don't know what happens to people after they get saved. They get born again and go dumb. You just got to read the book. Amen. Just read the book, and it is a revelation of the will of God. And so the prayer of petition is always based on the known will of God. Write that down. The prayer of petition is always based on the known will of God. You say, well, how do I discover the will of God? Research. I don't ever pray the prayer petition just off the top of my head. I prepare and construct this prayer. I build this prayer. There have been times where I've spent hours. There have been times when I've spent days before I ever prayed it, before I ever presented before God. And I took the time to research the Bible and to find everything I could find in His Word concerning my need. And then once I found what His Word says about it, then I constructed my petition around that. And I had confidence that once I presented it to God, I knew He heard me. And if I know He hears me, then I know that my petition will be fulfilled. Now that's the way to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I like praying knowing when I say amen, I can expect results. I don't pray because it's the religious thing to do. I don't pray just because somebody says, let's pray. I pray because I expect results. You know, I've had people say, Brother Jerry, you travel all the time. You stay in hotels all over the world, eat in restaurants all over the place. Do you pray over every meal? Yes, I do. Amen. Not because it's the religious thing to do. I want results. I got to eat this stuff. I don't know the chef. I don't know the cook. I don't know where his hands have been. You know, I don't know what he does behind the scenes. You know, so I want this food sanctified, praise God. You know, I'm not praying just because it's the religious thing to do. I'm praying for results. Amen. So, you know, you get to the place where if somebody says, would you pray for me? Don't pray because it's the religious thing to do. Pray for results. Would you agree with me? Well, find out, first of all, what we're agreeing upon. That's important. I had a young man and a woman come to me one time in Seattle, Washington, when I was doing a meeting there, and said, Brother Jerry, would you agree with us? I said, for what? That we will be married. I thought, what do you need my agreement for? I said, what do you need my agreement? Well, she's already married, but we don't believe that she's married to the right person. And we're believing that, you know, he's going to let her go and she'll marry me. I said, no, I can't get an agreement with that. So be sure you know up front what you're agreeing on before you tell someone, yes, I will agree. Amen. He said, well, you know, we're already living together because the Bible says faith without works is dead. Now, I think that's deception. What about you? Amen. Yeah. Spirit of stupid came on them both. So you need to find out, first of all, what are we agreeing on? So once again, praying the prayer of petition can only be prayed accurately when you already know up front what the will of God is. So that means research. Oh, Brother Jerry, would you do it for me? No. I'm going to give you a sample petition that I've prayed to help you, but where the prayer petition is of greatest strength is when you've done your own research. When you've taken the time to go find out what God's Word says. Because once you do that, then you're going to find that there's this unction from the Holy Ghost that comes on you. And it starts leading you from verse to verse to chapter. And the more you read, the more excited you get. And the more excited you get, the more confident you become. Hey, I'm on the right track here, and I know that I know when I make this petition before God that He will hear me and I will have the petition I've desired of Him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, don't forget that in the prayer petition, you're actually presenting God's Word back to Him. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Why am I teaching on the prayer petition? Because I have discovered in the 42 years that I have been praying this way that it seems to be the kind of prayer that produces the quickest results in the most impossible looking situations. And since we're talking about breaking through the impossible, then I want you to have the quickest results that you can possibly get. Amen? How about you?
Amen.
Amen. So Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now God is saying that His word works. Look at your neighbor and say, the word works.
The word works.
Tell somebody else, the word works.
The word works.
Amen. If you're not having success, don't ever blame it on the word of God. The word works. He says His word will accomplish and it will prosper in the thing whereunto He sent it. But notice the key point here. My word shall not return unto me void. Another translation says void of power or void of results or action. So notice He says, my word will not return unto me void. So how do we return God's word to Him? Well, we do that through the words of our mouth, by repeating His word, by reminding Him, not that He has forgotten it, but He asks us to do so. Many times I hold my Bible up just like this. I say, Father, Your word says, this is what You said in Your word. I'm returning Your word to You. When our daughter Terry, when she was just a toddler in the nursery and in the church that Carolyn grew up in Shreveport, and Brother Copeland was preaching there in the morning service on Mark chapter 4, the sower soweth the word. And he just got through making the statement that once the word is sown, Satan cometh immediately to steal the word. And in a few moments, we heard a child screaming, and the nursery attendant come running through the side door with our daughter Terry. Is Terry here? Terry, right here. And Terry was, what, about 10, 13 months old, something like that. She was in the nursery, and the nursery attendant rocked over her hand and cut off these two fingers right at the first joint. Cut off the nail, the bone, and she come running through that auditorium saying, Brother Jerry, Brother Jerry, with blood running out the end of Terry's fingers. And I turned to see how Brother Copeland was going to react to this. And he walked off the platform just very calmly, laid his hands on her fingers, and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command this pain to cease and the bleeding to stop. And Terry was screaming at the top of her voice. You can imagine a little baby with her fingers cut off. And she stopped crying, laid her head on my shoulder, and closed her eyes. I went into the men's restroom. By this time, I've got blood all over me. And I was washing the blood off of her. And that's when I could see entirely what had happened. And while I'm doing that, the nursery attendant knocked on the door and said, Brother Jerry, can I come in? And she came in and she said, I went back to the nursery and I found these in the floor. And she handed me Terry's two little fingertips and put them in the palm of my hand. Now, we're about to find out what I believe. We can either respond in fear or we can respond in faith. One or the other. They're opposite forces. And I sensed that fear coming up. But I had remembered a verse that I read in Jude 20 that said, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith. So I just began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And as I did, I sensed fear leaving and faith coming. Hallelujah. So I set Terry there on the counter in that men's restroom, and I got my Bible out, and I went to Galatians chapter 3 that said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And I held it up and I said, Father, here's what your word says in Galatians chapter 3, that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, that Christ became a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. I went to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and I held it up and I said, one of your blessings in Deuteronomy chapter 28 is, blessed shall be the fruit of my body. I said, Father, this little girl is the fruit of my body. And I went to the 11th chapter of Mark and I held it up. And I said, Father, you said in Mark the 11th chapter, verse 24, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And I said, and your word says in Isaiah 55:11, that your word will not return unto you void. I'm returning your word to you now. And you said in Mark 11:23, that if I believe in my heart and doubt not that those things which I saith shall come to pass, I shall have whatsoever I saith. I'm saying my God will restore my baby's fingers. What am I doing? I'm returning his word to him. And then I sat down and I wrote all of that in the back of that Bible. And I dated it and signed my name to it as a point of contact to release my faith. Went back into the meeting. Brother Copeland was still preaching. I sat down there. This is not the time to run from the word. Don't ever run from the word when you're hurting. Run to the word. Yes, amen. Don't ever run from the word when you're in a crisis. Run to the word. Why? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I didn't need to run from the meeting. I needed to be right in the middle of it and hear what he had to say. And as he continued preaching, I sensed faith growing. Hallelujah. Afterwards, Brother Copeland looked at her fingers. He said, what do you believe, Jerry? I said, I believe my God will restore my baby's fingers. He said, I set myself in agreement with you in the name of Jesus. He said, now I recommend that you take her to the doctor to have them properly dressed. You can't leave those fingers exposed like that. So we did. We took her to the doctor. took her to one of the top plastic surgeons in the state of Louisiana at that time. His name was Dr. Simon Wall. This is all documented. And Dr. Wall looked at Terry. I handed him those little fingertips. He examined them. He x-rayed her fingers. He said, there's nothing I can do with these. I can't reattach them. And I watched that doctor throw my daughter's little fingertips in the trash. And he said, all I can do is take a piece of skin from her hip and do a skin graft and cover them up. They'll never be normal. They'll be little nubs, never have nails, never have the right length. I said, sir, you do what you can do. You take it as far as medical science can, but my God will restore my baby's fingers. He said, that's impossible. Now, you have to understand, Dr. Wall served Buddha. He had Buddha statues in his office, and Buddha can't do stuff like this. Looks like to me all Buddha can do is just get fatter and uglier. I don't know, you know, but why anybody want to serve anything looks like that, I don't know. But anyway, I could understand why he couldn't believe that anything could be done beyond medical science, because Buddha can't do things like this. But Buddha ain't Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Forgive my English, but you know what I'm talking about. I said, sir, maybe your God can't do it, but my God can. My God will restore my baby's fingers. He walked over to Carolyn and said, your husband's in shock. And I know this is a traumatic experience for you. You're both a young couple. This is your daughter, and I can understand. But I have to be real with you. It is impossible. They will never be normal again. My wife said, no, sir. We believe God will restore our baby's fingers. I said, doctor, you do what you can do. So he took her in, did the skin graft, said, keep her overnight. Brother Copeland had one more service that night. I told Carolyn, I say, you stay here with Terry, and I'm going back to hear what Brother Copeland has to say. And as soon as I get out of that service, I'll come right back to this hospital, and I'll preach to you word for word everything he said, so our faith will be on the same level. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You want agreement when you're believing for a miracle.
Amen.
Amen. And so that's exactly what we did. The next morning, he said, bring her back in 6 weeks. So for the next 6 weeks, we did not turn on a television set. We did not pick up a newspaper. We did not allow unbelieving believers in our house. Anybody that came to our house telling us, we don't know why God did this to your baby. I said, there's the door. My God didn't do this. And if that's the best you can do, just go on home. We don't need you here. Made a lot of people mad. Later, I went back and apologized to them, but right now, I'm protecting my faith. I'm believing for a breakthrough. I'm believing for a miracle, and I don't need some Christian's unbelief.
Amen.
Amen. And so, he said, bring her back in 6 weeks. For 6 solid weeks, we had our nose in the Word of God. We're listening to those reel-to-reel tapes. I mean, we're feeding our faith. Like Lester Sumrall used to say, feed your faith and starve your doubts. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what we were doing. During that 6 weeks, the night before we were supposed to take her back, I don't know to this day how I got this little card in the mail, because I never even knew about a Kenneth Hagin other than hearing Brother Copeland refer to him from time to time while he was teaching and talking about something he learned from Brother Hagin. I wouldn't have known Kenneth Hagin if he'd have walked through the door. But I went out to the mailbox the day before we were supposed to take her to the hospital, 6 weeks later, and there was a little card in my mailbox from Kenneth Hagin Evangelistic Association saying that he was going to be in Tyler, Texas tonight. I told Carolyn, I said, well, if Brother Copeland listens to this man, then we need to listen to him. And we're going to Tyler. So we drove 100 miles to Tyler. When we got to Tyler, Brother Hagin preached on the verse he wrote, Mark 11:23. Praise God. No, he didn't write it, but boy, I'm telling you, he did a good job teaching it, didn't he? And when Brother Hagin got through, I'm telling you, I turned to Carol and I said, we have been doing for 6 weeks what that man preached tonight. And I knew we were on the verge of a breakthrough. So we got back home. Next morning, we took her to the doctor. Dr. Wall cut the bandages off. And when he did, he lifted both hands and screamed, my God. I said, what is it, doc? He said, look. And I looked after he took those bandages away, and my daughter's fingers were back to normal, had nails on them, and you couldn't even tell they'd ever been cut off. There they are. Now, right under here is two little scars. And I just decided that was the token of my covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. But the fingers are normal, got the nails. Thank you, Terry. And when he said, my God, and I saw what had happened, I said, no, sir, not your God. My God. My God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, notice how I got that breakthrough. I was returning God's word to him.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I was returning God's word to him. And he said it would not return void. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's what we're doing in the prayer of petition. We're researching. What does the Bible say about my specific need? And once we're satisfied that we've found all that we can find concerning that, then you construct a petition. Look at your neighbor and say, the key word is construct. Don't just start praying. Construct this prayer. Build it around what you discovered in the Word of God. Now, once again, he says, if we pray according to his will, we know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions we've desired of him. I like that phrase. We know that we have. I know I'm going to get what I'm petitioning God for. Don't you love that promise?
Yes.
That means it's a sure thing. Absolutely no doubt about it. We will break through the impossible. Now, the financial breakthrough that many of you are believing for today, you need to take the time to go find out what God's Word says about that. And you're going to discover. Now, I'm not suggesting that you write every verse on this subject in your petition, because you will find out if you study it close enough, there are actually more verses in the Bible regarding finances, prosperity, the management of finances, than there are on actual verses that talk about salvation. I'm not saying that that means that, you know, prosperity is more important than salvation. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is there are so many verses in the Bible about prosperity and financial well-being that I'm not suggesting you write every one of them in your petition, but research enough of them, and you're going to find as the Holy Spirit is leading you and directing you, there are going to be specific ones that seem to energize your faith. That's the ones you want to include in that petition. You know, they'll come as a rhema to you. They'll come as a word from God to you. That's the ones you want to use in that petition. Now, once again, the key is knowing the will of God. And as previously stated, you're going to find that in His Word. So I want to just give you a few examples here to help you get started. Let's just listen to a few scriptures that talk about prosperity that we can include in our petition for finances. You don't have to turn to these. You might want to take note of them and look at them later. And these are just a few. They're certainly not all of them. Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God gets pleasure out of you prospering. Look at your neighbor and say, based on that, I will never rob God of joy again. Amen. God delights in the prosperity of his servants. I mean, any good father's that way. Any good father delights and rejoices in the success of his children. What father doesn't enjoy seeing his offspring succeed? If he doesn't, he's not a good father. He's certainly not like God. And the Bible says we get the similitude of our fatherhood from our Father God. You know, my dad all of his life wanted to own his own business. He was in the automotive business. He worked for a lot of other people. took his expertise and made other people rich. He always wanted his own business, but never quite got there. I owned my own business by the time I was 21 years old. And my dad was extremely proud of me for accomplishing that. Well, that's the way a father is when he sees the success of his children. I rejoice in the success of my offspring, praise God. Amen. So notice he says, "The Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." So I would suggest that you include that in your petition. I'm going to show you how at the end of this message. And then Deuteronomy 29:9 says, "Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do." God wants you to prosper in everything you do. That tells me it's never the will of God I win a few and lose a few. It's the will of God that I prosper in everything I do. But once again, notice that the key to this was to keep the words of the covenant. Be obedient to the word of God. Psalm 122, verse 6, "They shall prosper that love thee." Let me see the hands of everybody who loves God in this building today. Wow, that looks like just about everybody, and the place is almost packed out. Praise God. And the Bible says, "They shall prosper that love God." Amen? Well, include that in your petition. "God, I love you, and I'm committed to serve you all the days of my life, and you said that that makes me a candidate for prosperity." Hallelujah. Can you see that? Then his word says in 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Include that in your petition, because God is stating right there that one of his greatest desires is that you prosper. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Job 36:11, "If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures." Hallelujah. If you're obedient to God, then you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. How'd you like to know that everything you do has the potential of prospering? Hallelujah. Well, that's the promise to the person who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but walks in the counsel of God. Can you say amen? So are you getting the picture here? What we're doing is we're just going through the Bible, finding out Old and New Testament. What does God say about our financial well-being? And we're going to construct a petition based upon that. How could anyone think that it isn't God's will for them to prosper after reading verses like these? And these are just a handful of them. Let's also remember what his word says about what the blessing of God will do on our lives. Psalm 3, verse 8, we mentioned it last night. "Thy blessing is upon thy people." Let me see the hands of all the people of God in here. Praise God. Man, you look like a candidate for everything today. You're raising your hand to everything, praise God. And notice it says his blessing is upon his people. Proverbs 10:22 says, "And the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich." If the blessing of God is on you, it will make you rich, hallelujah. God says in Deuteronomy that he gives us the power to get wealth. And the power he's referring to is the blessing. It maketh rich, hallelujah. Now, once again, these are just a few of the many, many verses in the Bible that promise us that it is the will of God for us to prosper and that he wants us not only to experience financial breakthroughs in our lives, but to experience continual, ongoing, uninterrupted prosperity. Listen to 2 Chronicles 26:5. "And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. In other words, if his if his seeking God and walking with God and staying true to God was never interrupted, then neither would his prosperity ever be interrupted, praise God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That's continual, perpetual prosperity. Now, once you've settled it in your heart that this is the will of God, based on what you've discovered and researched in His Word, then you are now ready to construct your petition. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm already excited. Hallelujah. Now, before you construct that petition, remember that a financial harvest can only come as a result of sowing financial seed. Didn't get near as much excitement over that part. A financial harvest can only come after the sowing of financial seed. There's no such thing as a harvest without sowing. So you need to include that part in not only your petition, but in your releasing of your faith. Hallelujah. God has promised that as long as the earth remains, Genesis 8:22, seed time and harvest shall not cease. So as you're preparing to construct this prayer, also be praying about where to sow seed into good ground so that you have the leverage, so to speak, to present this petition to God, knowing, God, this is what your word says, and I have sown my seed. I know I'm on target, praise God. Yes. Amen. That's an important part. Now, be sure to include that in your petition. Now, go with me quickly to Psalm 20. Psalm 20, and I want you to lay hold on this great truth. Beginning in verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings. What is God saying here? He never forgets a seed sown. God never forgets a seed sown. So include that in your petition. God, I've sown seed, and your word declares that you never forget a seed sown, praise God. Not only that, but notice in verse 4, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. The Amplified Bible says, fulfill all your petition. Hallelujah. So notice, we're going to include in this petition that, God, I've not only discovered what your word says about this, but I'm acting on it and I'm releasing my faith by sowing my seed. And Psalm 20 says that you never forget a seed sown. So look at what I'm doing. I'm building this prayer based on the known will of God. That's why I can be confident when I pray it that He hears me, and that I have the petitions I've desired of Him. Amen. God will not only remember the seeds you sow, but He will fulfill your petition. All right, now, I'm going to show you one last verse, Psalm 118, before we give you a sample petition for finances. Psalm 118. The question I want to ask now, before I read this verse, are you convinced yet that you have a right to petition God for financial prosperity?
Yeah.
Let me ask this section over here. Are you convinced yet that you have a right to petition God for financial prosperity? What about this center section here, all the way back? Over here? Okay. Psalm 118, look at verse 25, and this ought to settle it once and for all. Listen to this petition of the psalmist. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Send now prosperity. Notice that was in this man's petition. He made it very clear. See, a petition is specific. It's specific. That's the reason why you research everything you can find on your specific need. Don't just pray generally. Go find out what the Word says about that situation. Everything you can find on it. Look at other examples of people in the Bible who were going through similar situations. Use their situation as evidence in your own heart that God cares about people who go through situations like what I'm going through. Not only that, God delivers them. God saves them. God raises them up. Hallelujah. Amen. That's a confidence builder. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Now, if the psalmist can ask God for prosperity, petition God for prosperity, then so can we. So now let's construct our petition. How many of you are taking notes? I get a clean sheet of paper, turn the page on your notebook, and I want you to write this in all capitals at the top of that sheet. Prayer of petition for financial prosperity. Prayer of petition for financial prosperity. And then underline that. See, I want you to get an image on the inside of you that you're establishing a legal contract between you and God. Now, I always write mine out, you know, first. When I'm constructing my prayer petition, I always write them out in my own handwriting, which I might say only those who can pray in the Spirit can read. But anyway, thank God for a secretary that's learned how to do it. And then I have them typed up and I keep them in notebooks. And I carry them around with me and I read them daily. I don't pray them again. I read them again and thank God because I believed I received when I prayed. But carrying them around with me and reading them keeps me focused and single-minded. Not only that, it's a powerful spiritual weapon that you can use against the devil when he says that is never going to happen. You can just hold your petition up and say, it is written. Amen. Amen. It is written. Praise God. I personally believe the prayer petition is of greatest strength when you write it out. There's just something that happens with your faith when you take the time to write that petition out and construct it based on the Word of God. Okay, now, I'm going to read to you, and I'm not going to take the time for you to write all this down, and you know, because it's too long and lengthy. Get the tape afterwards, or CD, I guess they call them now, you know. And if you want to use that as a reference, as a sample, fine. But just listen to how I've constructed this prayer. And then you do your research and you construct one in your own words, okay? You can use this as a sample to help you get going, you know, help you get started. But I'm telling you, don't just use the one I did, even though it can be of benefit to you, but it's just something about when you do your own research. There's just an anointing that comes while you're researching and also an anointing to come to write things as you're being led by the Holy Ghost in this. Amen. So listen, here's what I would put in my sample petition for finances underneath that title, Prayer of Petition for Financial Prosperity. Now listen how I construct this. Father, I come boldly unto you today based solely on the authority of your word, which states in Hebrews 4:16, always use the references in your petition, and I would suggest you write them out. Yeah. Write that scripture out. Let's start again. Father, I come boldly unto you today, based solely on the authority of your word, which states in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus said in John 16:23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Therefore, I come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. Your word states in 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence that we have in you, that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've desired of you. This is my petition to you on this day. And then I leave a blank there to fill in that day's date that I actually presented this petition. Why? That's my point of contact to release my faith. So I can always go back. Based on Mark 11:24, believe I receive when I pray. When do I believe I receive? When I pray. Not when I see something happen. When I pray. That's when I believed I received. So I can always go back to that date and say, no, devil, you misunderstood. I believed I received July the 8th, 2011. I always put the time at 2:47 p.m. A lot of times I'll put where I'm at when I prayed it. At the Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas. I've got petitions I've prayed over the last 40 years from all over the world. I put them on there. Father, I'm in Nairobi, Kenya right now, and I believe in the name of Jesus on this date at this time. God, I'm off in Ukraine right now. I mean, I got petitions from all over the world. Hallelujah. Amen. So once again, this is my petition to you on this day. Leave a blank for that date. And I'm asking you for a financial breakthrough in my life. Your word states in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I am confident that you will meet my need. The following is an itemized list of my present financial needs. And I put lines there so that later I can fill all that in and list every need. You say, I'm believing to get out of debt. Well, how much will it take? I don't know. I'm just believing to get out of debt. Then you're not ready yet. Huh? Take the time. Add it all up. I'm afraid to. Well, you're not serious about getting out of debt if you don't know what it'll take. Add it all up. Itemize it. Put it in there. And then put a total down at the bottom. Total. Amen. And then I come back to my petition. You said in your word that you delight in the prosperity of your servant in Psalm 35:27. You said if I'm obedient to your word in Job 36:11, that I will spend my days in prosperity, my years in pleasures. You said, notice what am I doing? I'm returning his word. You said in Psalm 122:6, that those who love you shall prosper. And I assure you, Father, I love you and I will serve you all the days of my life. You said in your word in 3 John 2 that it is your greatest desire that I prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. And Father, you said in Philippians 4:19, you will supply all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, you declared that your blessing on my life will make me rich. And according to 2 Chronicles 26:5, that as long as I seek you and put you first place in my life, then I will prosper. Therefore, Father, based on the authority of your word, I release my faith and I sow my seed of, and I left a blank there to put in the amount that I'm sowing. As part of my, as my point of contact to release my faith. And I now believe according to Galatians 6:7, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, that I have an abundant financial harvest on its way. Hallelujah. Your word declares in Mark 11:24, that if I believe I receive when I pray, then I shall have it. I believe this day, and I put the day and the time again. I believe I receive in Jesus' name. And then if it's something that Carol and I are going to pray together, or the whole leadership in the ministry is going to pray together, or the directors in the ministry, or the whole family, then I leave a blank for every signature that's involved in this petition and have them sign it, praise God. And everybody that signs it gets a copy of it, hallelujah. And we walk around with it, and we carry it with us everywhere we go. And then the most important part after that is thanksgiving and praise, hallelujah. Philippians 4:6 says that by everything, or in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. The moment I present that petition to God and I say amen, that's when my thanksgiving and praise begins. Yeah. Because thanksgiving and praise is one of the greatest expressions of faith. When you're thanking God before you ever see any results, that's one of the greatest expressions of your faith. Hallelujah. And every time you think about that petition, take it out and say, God, I just want to thank you that you heard me. And since I know you heard me, I am confident that you are fulfilling my petition. I believe I receive. And just break out into praise. Sometimes in the middle of the night, you'll get to thinking about it. Just jump out of the bed, dance a little jig, and praise God for it. Hallelujah. Amen. And if anybody want to know what you're so happy about, just tell them, praise God. God fulfills my petitions. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I have been praying like this for 42 years, and I do not have one petition in my archives that has not come to pass. Every petition that I have constructed like this has come to pass just like we wrote it. Hallelujah. Some of them came before the next day. That's exciting, praise God. Most of them didn't come before the next day, but not one of them failed to come to pass. And you know, when you get results like that, then eventually you catch on. Amen. Praise God. I seem to get the quickest results in the most impossible situations when I take the time to construct a prayer of petition. Amen. We do it in the ministry all the time. In fact, back in January of this year, we were on vacation, Carol and I, and we're setting up in our room one day, and I was in need of another airplane, and I just wrote out my petition, praise God. And I dated it January the 3rd, 2011. I said, Father, you told me in 1969, New Year's Eve, December the 31st, that I would not be able to fulfill what I'm called to do without airplanes. And over the years, you've supplied me with 8 different airplanes. Well, I'm in need of another one now because I can't do what I'm called to do without an airplane. And I wrote all the scriptures about that. And then as I was writing, I felt an unction from the Holy Ghost. And I caught myself writing these words. Father, based on previous experience, I don't have to buy airplanes unless I just want to. You give me airplanes. I wrote that in that petition, Bill. I said, out of the previous 8 airplanes I've owned, I bought 2 of them. You gave me the other ones. So I don't have to buy airplanes unless I just want to. You give me airplanes. I said, so I'm a candidate for another airplane. And I believe you're already speaking to somebody who is in position to bless me with that airplane, praise God. That was January the 3rd, 2011. April the 25th, it manifested. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yes,
hallelujah.
Sir.
Amen. And I didn't buy it. It was given to me, praise God. And Brother Jerry, I just don't know if that'll work for me. Well, that's the reason I'm trying to teach you. 42 years ago, I didn't know if it'd work for me. But it became a revelation. And it's been working ever since, praise God. Amen. So if you are serious about entering into the realm of financial prosperity that God wants you to live in, then if I were you, I'd get serious about this prayer petition business, because it is the kind of prayer that seems to produce the quickest results in the most impossible looking situations. You receive that today.
Amen.
Give the Lord your best shout, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to hold your hand up. Make this confession of faith with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe your word. I'm not a hearer only. I am a doer of the word. I fully intend to act upon what I've heard. And I believe you're no respecter of persons. I believe I will receive the breakthroughs I'm in need of based on the authority of your word. And since I believe that right now, I'm going to go ahead and praise you like it's already come to pass. Go ahead and do so. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Stand up and bless him. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. You remember, those of you that were here last night, I was talking about the Genesis principle, about learning to operate in your God-given authority, learning to live under the conferred blessing of God on your life, and learning how to appropriate the law of seed time and harvest. I know of someone in this building right now who received 100-fold on the seed they sowed last night already. I said already. Hold on a minute. You didn't rejoice like you should have because it wasn't you that it happened to. Now, I want you to rejoice like you should have and then say, you know, I'm probably next. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, God is good. God is faithful. Amen. If He can do that for one person, He can do it for anybody and everybody in this room. Amen. Praise God. Go ahead and be seated.